And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome! It's episode 1-0-4-7 of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down to dunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. I am Luke! Joined this morning by Andrew.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Slam through.
Taylor, two goldfish are in a tank. One says to the other, do you know how to drive this thing?
Two things are better than one. Two things are better than one. Two.
Slam through. And Jay.
It's Jay.
I don't get the joke.
It's tank.
Tank. You know how to drive this thing?
Okay, I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Gotcha.
That was a stretch.
I think I'm to the point where I'm ready to make the call that I think Luke maybe needs to get his hearing checked.
Really? Why?
Because
you're yelling right now.
You're yelling. And on top of that is you.
Because I'm
before the podcast, he had his phone out and he was watching all of Josh Giddey's stories.
I don't hear well.
It's full blast.
I don't hear well.
And he's got the new iPhone, so the speakers are like...
It's really loud.
It's very loud.
It could be louder.
Do you think so?
I wish.
Maybe get a little like a woofer attached to it?
I wish it was like guys that got those things in subwoofers in their cars in high school. We're just like... Hey,
you want your case to rattle.
Yeah.
You want your TikTok songs to rattle?
Uh-huh. That's what I want.
Gosh, I don't hear well.
But I don't. Why? That's just one of those things you can't fix.
It's the thing he gave up. It's the thing he gave up for wisdom.
You know what I would like. You know what I would like.
That
to
was
do?
His deal with the devil.
deal with the devil.
Uh huh. I have all this wisdom, but I can't hear. But I want to get. I watch earwax videos.
Hell, man, the wise
where they get like all the big blockages coming out. I want to do that. I think I got some big blockages.
You should try it.
I'd love
it's at
to.
Least one thing
I don't know where
do.
To go.
The doctor.
Huh.
Everybody up for that.
He did. That whole thing was a long setup.
So Summer League here and gone.
Thank the Lord.
Incredibly disappointing time for Thunder fans. Any takeaways? Let's try to stay positive. Anything, any good takeaways from Summer League for
it's
any of
over.
You guys?
We have a better idea of who doesn't matter. Is that positive?
Is it? It doesn't sound like it.
No. It sounds pretty negative.
Not for the guys that don't matter.
Wow. Well, we have a better idea. We have more knowledge.
True. So for us, it's kind of positive. Okay.
Yeah. So that was, that's information.
Andrew. I genuinely, I get, when you're searching for anything optimistic from it, I get hey, JRE. I think there is legitimately something with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
he's good.
He's and this was Alex's point, I think, initially, was he's going to be a career role player. That's everybody that Matt that was hey, I kind of like Wiggins. Tao looked good. All of them are role players. Mm-hmm. And that's what's hard is you come from this season that was just, especially towards the end, was every week was just a brutal watching this team play. And then you get to Summer League. Yeah, Trey Mann, Josh Giddey, both out within 5 minutes for Giddey and then within, two games for Trey Mann?
For Trey.
So it's all the energy and excitement. That's the only thing. I don't give a rip about summer league as far as being indicative of what this team or young people can be. I don't, doesn't matter to me. It, purely entertainment reason is why I'm frustrated with it. Like, because I just wanted to like, hey, that'd be tight to watch some summer league and watch Giddy ball out and see what Trey Mann does. And we got to see literally neither one of those things happen.
Yeah.
So it got to the end where I was like, I just didn't even watch the last game.
It was actually kind of fun.
I heard. Yeah. Most points of any games in summer league.
It's because it's the, so the last games of summer league and like Giddy and Trey Mann probably wouldn't have played in those games anyways. It's like the ultimate scrub game. Because they take like all the guys that are good, they just either send them home or they just don't play them. And so they just play like the guys that are left. And it's funny that the guys that are left are like all the guys that have been with the Thunder like this whole time. So they've had like a chance to play together a bunch. And, you know, anyways.
And also still probably like trying to play for a spot.
Some of the guys playing for a spot, like Rob Edwards, is like, somebody noticed me, you know.
Yeah.
And people did.
Yeah, I guess.
Thunder Twitter, big fan of that guy.
Yeah.
I had to look who he was. I had to look up who he was.
Yeah, nice player. We'll play for the Blue, probably.
Almost all of them will, except for Jerry and Teo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry was really good in that game. Like, legitimately very good. Like, I think he was probably the best player on the floor.
And role players are important at some point, right? But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, they're just not exciting to be like, oh, that guy can be a solid role player in the NBA for a long time. It's like, that's cool. You need those players on your team.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing about summer league changes any. Like, I don't feel any more or less excited about what's ahead for the Thunder.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. This is a purely entertainment conversation. I just was like really looking forward to watching Giddy for five games. And he played for 5 minutes and it was like, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it 1,000,000% makes sense. Like, even if it's a minor injury, it's not worth it for five summer league games. Like, he got to be there with the team, practice, do some of the mental work, all of that stuff. And that's what really mattered of summer league. But for the fan, it just sucked to not be able to watch and have fun watching them play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're doing kind of what they did?
Summer league. I always forget about that.
Are they trying to do like backwards what they did when building the team last time? They got their like three main guys up front, and then they tried to find role players and they could never really put it together. Like, we just need someone who can shoot. This time they're putting together the role players, like great, like eighth guy, seventh guy, all around there. And then once we find our top three guys, we just plug them in and we're ready to go.
It's as easy as that. Really, the hard part is role players, if you think about it. That's a great point.
Well,
Luke,
we're just learning our lesson from last time.
Yeah. Right? It's hard to find the role players. You know, you can find, how many role players do you need? Eight. Okay. How many stars do you need? Two.
One or two.
True. All you got to do is find two superstars.
That's what they always say. Small markets are always having trouble finding role players.
It's easy.
It's the stars that's the easy thing.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, we've had plenty of stars. You know, if it is kind of hard. It's funny because what you're saying is true. Okay. Small markets, it's hard to get superstars.
I know you are.
We caught that.
Yeah. You're being a jerk.
Okay. I was being a big jerk. But if you go through the list of superstars that have played in OKC already,
it's nuts.
It's quite a list.
It's nuts. Like, if
it really is.
I mean, you just say like Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony. Like, look, both those guys have played in OKC.
How many of these guys are top 10 in the league?
Or at least have been.
Or were.
Have been at one time in their career, right?
Kevin Durant.
Yes.
James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook. Yep. Chris Paul.
Yep.
Carmelo Anthony.
Uh-huh. Paul George.
Oladipo. No?
I wouldn't say one superstar.
Fringy. He's a little fringy.
Yeah, he's fringy.
Sabonis.
Sabonis is an all-star.
Markieff Morris.
All-star.
Markieff Morris.
I'm talking about the superstar. Like, big time guys, though. That's like, crazy.
For
a franchise that's really got a 12-year history.
And now SGA.
And now SGA. Which,
we'll see.
There's something. We'll talk about it.
Will we?
Well, but then hit my button because I got a question.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Dang. Hey, John's back toys, bigger and mystery.
Luke, we're moving to Tayshaun's back toys. I know you can't hear the drop there,
but that's what we're headed. We're in my segment now.
Okay.
And my segment is basically a question. It's a roundtable discussion. Maybe you guys can help me figure something out. SGA has the potential, the future, the superstar maybe potential about him.
Okay.
But he seems to be missing, for me, some je ne sais quoi. Do you feel the same way? Like when
Excuse
you look
me?
At this is going to be hard to explain.
It's what the French call a certain I don't know what.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Okay, there's something that those guys I just named off, they have this like star quality to them. Not like even outside of basketball. Does Shea have that and I'm missing it?
I think he does, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm just missing it.
Because he's cool, and I think part of it is that like the COVID year, we didn't get to see him, and like people didn't get to see how he kind of acted outside of just like the interviews, because like he's pretty funny,
really?
And would always like talk when it wasn't his turn, or like bust in the room, like you could hear him in the background, like he. Well, like
he has the personality.
He kind of like owns the space.
Mm.
And so one of the Thunder PR people's name is Layla, and he always would like give Layla like so much trouble like during these Zoom calls. Like she was like managing all these Zoom calls. And he would just kind of mess
with the stuff we need, Andrew.
Kind of mess with her.
Is that insider content?
We need to know more about the calls. Him.
I think that if we can be back in person, I think people will see that, like, oh, like this guy, last year he believed and acted like he was the man.
Okay. That is good to know. I just think maybe you're right. We just don't see enough of that.
Yeah.
And I think nationally, if he was playing for a team that was relevant currently, I think people would be all over.
Yeah.
Like if he was on the Heat.
Yeah. It would be like the shade hype train would be all over the place.
That's what's missing. It's like more the national recognition, like making, you know.
And I guess maybe like he hasn't had a lot of opportunities to be the man in big games too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he was, I mean, the season that anybody paid attention to Shea,
Chris Paul,
the Clippers, which he was one of this weird collection of players. Like nobody was a superstar on that team at that point except for, I mean, I guess none of them really were, because that was the Gallo, Shea, Pat Bev, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, like just collection of decent players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of everybody was the same when he was a rookie. The second year is Chris Paul.
Yeah. And he was really good.
Shea was really good, but he was not the man.
Right.
And the only year he's been the man, which was what, 30 games this year? How many games did he play? 40? And as part of that, like he was incredible. But nobody's really paying attention to the Thunder.
Yeah.
Like their national games were, I don't even think they had a national game.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
So it's one of those things that we will see Shea take that next step this year as kind of a guy that people were paying a little bit more attention to, but the Thunder will still be such a
35
bottom
games.
Team.
You 35. Were right in the middle. Good job.
What is that?
Hmm?
What are you saying? 35 games? How many he played?
Luke.
I'm being serious.
Yes, L man. Yes.
I heard what you said. I wanted clarification on what the 35 was related to.
I know you couldn't see my lips because they were behind my microphone.
Yeah, we got you.
Here's the thing.
We got you, Luke.
Here's the other thing. I can't read lips.
You're going to really
struggle. That was actually one of our old.
I can't do it.
I can't read lips, Jay.
I can't read lips.
Luke and I are having a time here because we started a little angry. I'm sorry.
They did.
They really did. Here's what happens. Luke pushes buttons when he knows someone's already in
the
mood.
So he does.
I do not.
Taylor was here pushing buttons right here with me.
Oh, wow. I would never.
So they pushed buttons and then got a snarky response from me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then blamed me for my response.
Why was it snarky?
I mean, just because I was... What do you mean? Because I was condescending, rude. There's all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of layers to my problems. Where do you want to go?
I wonder why I do push.
But it is funny, like the Shea. I was thinking about this on one of the podcasts that y'all did this week, Andrew. And like, I think the reason that Thunder fans are panicked about timeline is just all because of Shea. Like, if Shea wasn't on this team and they were still fishing for that star and it was like, hey, it's just going to be a brutal journey. But we saw that in these 35 games that he played last year is that the Thunder are pulled towards that middle of the pack. And so there's just like this baseline terror that we're going to be stuck in purgatory because we can't be bad enough to get the guy to star with Shea.
We'll see. We can't be good enough we'll to see get about
the,
that.
Yeah, I think we'll be. I think this is the year. I think the Thunder are going to be. Problem. I mean, I think they're going to be really bad, actually.
Yeah.
Not really bad, maybe. I don't know what to think.
Hey, I mean, don't nose breathe into
their
the
over under 23. Okay. He can't hear it.
What is going on today?
I don't know. Just... That's one of my biggest pet peeves. It happened so much this past week. Like in Vegas, we had these mics on our like faces, and guys would just sit there and go. I'm like, bro.
Sorry. I'm trying to not breathe. I'll do this.
It's one of the things that I like when I re-listen to the podcast and I catch myself breathing. It's why you'll see me like,
take
big breaths away from the mic because there's time it's like, Jay, his lungs are problematic.
Yeah.
I can't breathe. Was that your factoid, Vickery Dickery?
Yeah, I guess so. We're ending with Shay does have that certain je ne sais quoi.
Oh, deep dive. Hey guys, I found Josh Giddey's. I found Josh Giddey's TikTok, and it is, I would say, adorable.
I would say
he is. If you watch
does
it,
does he have the certain je ne sais quoi?
He has
je ne sais quoi.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I know what the.
You took it so personally.
I don't know.
Do I look French to you?
No.
Why would you ask me that?
Well, you use the word.
A je ne sais quoi, I don't know exactly what it means, but it means like
get
this like special, this aura, this...
Just the it factor.
Yeah, dude. The it. Does he have it?
Get your Vickery Dickery out of my deep dive.
Yeah.
You're making me sick. Joe, Josh Giddey has a TikTok, and I encourage everyone to watch it. Just so you know...
I don't have TikTok.
It's so interesting because, you know, he's 19 years old. And when you watch this, you're like, TikTok. This is a 19. No, this is a 19 year old.
Do you have a smartphone?
What are you looking at?
We're just talking about the fact that we don't have TikTok.
I have TikTok. So he has, like, if you're wondering what his favorite fruits are, he has a TikTok about it. If you're wondering what his Chipotle order is, he has a TikTok about it.
What's his favorite fruit?
His favorite fruit is mango and peaches and a banana, which he's eating during the TikTok.
That one makes me feel very, like, uncomfortable.
I should play it for the group.
My favorite fruits are mangoes and peaches. And it's actually funny you ask, because my third favorite fruit is right here.
Pull that banana, eat it.
Big old bite of a banana.
He's 18.
Yeah.
He's
so funny to remember, like...
When you watch it, you're like, okay, that's just
I'm so glad that the world didn't have a recording of how I was as an 18-year-old.
Yeah, dude.
But his go-to Subway order, his go-to Chipotle order, just things like that. Get to know him.
Any of his orders surprise you?
No, they're pretty... I would say they're pretty basic, if I had to.
Quite standard.
Did
he say meatball sub?
No, he calls it
Mango
chicken
Magic
fillet.
Is the only...
Nope, that's some Subway. Here it is.
Thank you. And my go-to order is a foot-long Italian herbs and cheese with chicken fillet and cheddar cheese, or American cheese if you're in America, and Chipotle sauce.
No veggies? No veggies on that?
No veggies.
Like a quintessential 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And he also, the best thing about him being 18 is he cannot say the word foot-long without being like, giving a side eye.
Yeah. That's very 18-year-old.
Stop the video, reshoot the next part.
Uh-huh. And it's pretty good. And I would just let you guys know, get on there. I'm just going to play those three because I want everyone to go and do their own deep
dive.
Don't
spoil it.
And find out all about him.
How do you guys feel about it? I feel like he better be good at basketball. Because I swear.
I think that people, like, I don't know what to expect as far as performance. But I think his attitude, what he brings to the game and his competitiveness is going to be the thing that, for Thunder fans, like, they're always looking for, like, what's the one thing that we can draw from this guy to think, this guy may be what we're looking for. And the fact that he's going to compete at the level he does, even as a young kid, like, I don't know, I think that's the thing I'd be excited about watching. I mean, we just have no idea what to expect from him on the court.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that, like, you know, he his two plays that stood out from his 5 minutes was a dunk and a block three-pointer that he cleared the lane, he cleared everybody out for. Everybody go away. I'm going to shoot this three. And then it got blocked.
Yeah.
I kind of jacked about Giddey.
Yeah. The phrase I use about him is high-level connected tissue player. I think he just helps connect everybody.
Oh.
I think that's like what his if he is what he's projected to be. That's what
he's like
be.
The ACL.
That's what
of
he'll
the team.
Be. Yeah.
I was so bummed during summer league that I actually spent like a evening watching just every Poku highlight from the year.
Yeah. I mean the truth is like if this was sad.
No, it's not. It was incredible. It was like the highlight of my last 2 weeks.
This team was
incredible and horrible and amazing. I love it.
If the summer league team was what it was supposed to be, it should have been Giddey and Poku and Trey Mann.
Kenneth Fareed.
And then like you'd be, I think people would be like, oh, like this Thunder team is kind of wacky, like kind of fun. But anyways. Yeah,
funhouse basketball team with those three guys on it.
Yeah, for real.
Really, it's not funhouse basketball team until you put Poku in it, and then it's just funhouse whatever's happening. Dinner, Poku's there, funhouse dinner.
Yeah. Dancing?
Funhouse dancing.
It's true.
If you go into Poku's house, it just has a bunch of like wobbly mirrors. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you realize that's a normal mirror. That's just what Poku looks like.
No, he got with you, Andrew.
He got trapped in one. Hmm. The child, it stretched him out.
Could you do like an exclusive Poku interview where you literally are able to go to his house? Because I want to know what that place looks like.
I'm trying.
Oh, you're trying to go to his house?
Trying to.
Just anything. Just connect with him.
Just been knocking on every door in OKC.
Hello. Hello.
Is this Perker's hers?
Oh, man. One more thing before we move on, just about players being children when we draft them and us not remembering that.
Yeah.
Do you remember when KD was on Twitter when he was like, I don't know, 2021? Yes. It was so great. I remember this one tweet. He said, what do you do? I'm getting a massage right now and I have to fart. What do I do?
Yeah.
Can you imagine KD tweeting anything like that now?
Yes.
No.
Yes, he's still acting childish on Twitter.
Just not, a different not in version.
A way. Yeah,
it's
in a different way.
Know, much more like still. Dark,
the
negative.
The innocence is stripped.
Yes, the innocence is gone.
Yeah.
And that's what we're actually watching when we're watching players develop in basketball. We watch all of their innocence leave year over year.
Dude, so we were listening to the interviews that I did in Vegas, like in the car, and my wife was like, these guys sounds like so innocent, like just listening to them talk, like there's just like an innocence about both of them that's just kind of, it's just interesting. Yeah.
And but that's gonna be killed,
slowly destroyed.
Yeah
that's very depressing. All right, let's go to the stream before we take a break. Tom Bystander's here, Hybrid is here. I spelled TikTok wrong. Yes, I did, because I'm 35 and have three children.
How'd you spell it?
I don't remember. I just spelled it like TikTok. Like
where did you spell it?
It's the title of our stream.
TikTok.
TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's it.
Oh, yes. You are such
he's going to get rid of the C.
Yeah, dude.
The first one.
You should have put the, put the in front of it. The TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok.
Don't have it. Don't know it very well.
Will you at least please title the podcast that now?
TikTok. Yeah.
Giddey TikTok.
I'm just talking about clocks.
Not about clocks.
I'm not even talking about the app. Alex Gatch is here. Madi is here. Let's see. Bailey Sanderson from Adelaide, Australia.
Hey.
The Dymite.
Okay.
Hoopstock 69 is here. Daniel Tomasi is here. Miguel Davila. Tommaso Ferrero.
I thought I was sharp on the Barbie.
William Holloway is here. Let's see. Jermaine Wine says, I'm proposing in T-minus 11 hours exactly.
What?
Oh, don't do it, man.
No.
Don't do it, man.
Give it away.
Yeah, don't talk, say, can't hopefully talk about you're, hopefully
he's
you're,
asking for a shout
what
out.
If she's on the stream.
For Jermaine and Kaylee in South Carolina. Big shouts.
Hey, congrats.
Congrats to you guys. That's awesome.
Well, hopefully congrats, actually.
Yeah. What? Why are you guys doing that? Yes, definitely. Congrats.
It's nervous energy.
I'm saying, like, nervous for them. The point of a proposal is to ask a question.
Yeah.
We don't know the answer to the question.
I mean, if you
We don't know this guy.
You're right. You're about to say what's the truth. Is you don't really ask. That's a question that you don't ask most of the time unless you're pretty positive.
If you, it's how, be yes. Like, how many proposals do you think get the answer no?
Here's more than you would 2%. Think.
Like what percent?
2%.
Oh, 50 to 60.
Oh.
50 to 60?
Yeah. But then 50 to 60 of those proposals, they make up and the person like real. It's a Phoebe Mike situation.
Was that Friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesse Smith is here. What's up, Jesse?
It's the benevolent. Benelephant?
Benelephant. I ain't going to lie, so tell me why is also here. Thanks so much for joining.
What about Hoops Talk?
Gerardo.
There he is.
Yeah, Hoops Talk 69. I think I already said it.
We don't know
who knows?
Any of these people.
I don't know. All right. We'll be right back after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back after that quick break.
We're back.
Twitter questions.
Twitter questions. Whatever happened to that drop? Hey, guys, our first Twitter question is from @ShayMyName1, who says, "Hey, crew, I'm irrationally rooting for Aaron Wiggins to stick with the Thunder because I am from Maryland. What past Thunder player do you really wish stuck with the team? But not because of their skill level." Thanks, DTD.
Really loved Deontay Burton. Loved his vibe. Loved the way he played on the court. He's a thick daddy.
He was.
And now he did play for the Denver Nuggets summer league team.
Yeah.
Didn't really do much. But he's playing pickup around OKC as well.
Yes.
So, but yeah. Deontay Burton is definitely
terrorizing pickup games.
I mean, I don't know.
I think one of the bigger what ifs from that early roster was Eric Maynor, who's now part of the Oklahoma City Thunder coaching staff. But
yeah.
Eric Maynor had that about a year and a half when we got him from Utah, that like he was a perfect backup with Russ. And then I think did he blow his knee out?
Yeah.
And it kind of was just never the same after that. I get on these weird YouTube deep dives, and one of them, they do like saddest moments of the NBA season forever. Mm. This is not that moment, but it made me
Sean
think
Livingston.
Of this. No, I forgot how awful Andre Robertson's knee injury was,
when it
happened, and how
it
much
so
it
bad.
Just was like heartbreaking for that team and for fans. So just reliving the nightmares of the last 20 years. What else y'all want to talk about?
I really miss Deion. And yes, for the skill level, but I just really miss Deion. That's the type of player I've always wanted on this team.
I kind of, like in that same line, a little bit different, a lot bit different, but Mitch McGarry was a guy that I was like,
that was who mine is going to be.
Not just his off the court stuff, but like his skill set when he was aware and present, like he played that game in Portland. I think we all remember where he was a rookie and had like,
we don't remember it like you do. 20 that really sticks
his
with
offensive
you.
Game for a big was just unbelievable.
When he came in with just so much energy into the game, it's like he was making every second count. Cause like when he was just a ball, like a wrecking ball into the game.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Remember when he sprinted down the court?
Yes.
I think I was in Dallas.
Yeah. He just kind of like the perfect weirdo that I really liked having on the team. Like just posted and like still if he was still on the team, like still good and like still really into snakes and doing all the stuff he's doing now and like super into bowling, I'd be like, that I like that. We would be all about it.
You were like, those are my three favorite things.
I'm trying to even think like earlier on, like nobody really early on got me excited long term. Kyle Weaver. Outside of like Eric Maynard.
I did really like Kyle Weaver.
Yeah,
I think we liked the idea of Kyle Weaver.
No.
No, I really liked
that good and
loved him
in the game.
He was
great. He was awesome.
So he was, he's probably like a close approximation to like the Aaron Wiggins like guy because he's like, you see him do stuff and you're like, wow, like that's really impressive. Like that's really good. And then like, you just have no clue if it like really translates to real NBA basketball kind of thing.
It's the best. There's so many of those guys and they're easy to love.
So many of those guys.
Etan Thomas. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I've heard it's been said so many times.
Yeah. You're rooting for Etan Thomas to stay on the team.
Yeah, I liked him.
All right.
Guys I didn't feel that way about was like Lamb or PJ3.
Dude, I was just thinking about that and
trying to not
bring
I didn't really care about either one of them. I was like,
no. I do not have great.
Mainly because Lamb just reminded me of the Harden trade.
Yeah.
James Harden, somebody I wish would have stayed around on the team, at least for a year, you know?
Uh-huh. He's talking about like fringe players. Like who else, like what other fringe
guys,
players?
I'll say it. Kyle Singler. He was a great, he was a great kind of just punching
content
bag.
Creator. Yes.
Content creator, punching bag. Like,
yeah, those guys are important.
And it was fun when he was here because we were just like, oh, come on. Like he just signed this 5-year deal with like this horrible player that's, we're just going to complain about.
Yeah.
And it was good. I like that. I miss him. I saw him at the Greens once. He was huge.
Yep.
Gigantic man. Yeah. I would things I've said about him on the podcast, I'd never say to his face.
NBA guys, we don't realize how giant they are until we see them in person. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. I walk by Bol Bol in the
oh my God.
In the hotel. He's just he's 7'2". It's just sometimes you like walk by these guys, you're like, how am like I a person?
Yeah.
And he is also a person. Like that just doesn't make sense to me.
I remember when I was a kid and the Oklahoma City Cavs were the like I don't even know, I guess G League team maybe, but like some sort of
CBA, I think is what it was.
Minor league basketball team. And they played the team. Manute Bol was playing for
the
other team.
Yeah.
And I went and saw them and Manute Bol would sit on the bench
and
his legs would be as tall as his head.
Oh my God.
Bench. Like it was like a spider. Like the way his legs, it was unbelievable.
You know what's so weird? I think we've talked about this before. When you sit down close to the basketball court, the court looks so small when you're on the same level as these other guys.
It's a basketball court, right? Like you've...
Yeah, and it's like, how does anyone get any shots off? How do you move around?
Yeah.
Like I just remember seeing...
The camera angle is not really showing you what space looks like down there.
Yeah, it's wild.
I got pretty close... for one of the games and I can't remember who he was playing for, but Timofey Mozgov was playing and I'm like,
yeah, he's a giant, like a literal giant,
Yeah. It was insane. So who are we talking about?
What were we talking
Kyle
about?
Kyle Weaver? What?
Okay. Let's move on to our second Twitter question.
Daquan Cook.
It comes from at Peter Man 33. Who wants to know which is KD better at, scoring or sabotaging any goodwill he ever establishes?
Gosh.
It's unbelievable how he continues to rewrite history in such a like matter-of-fact way. You know, like this
and
latest
thing, help him.
This latest thing with Draymond is just so funny because it's just like almost everything you've said in this interview, which you are trying really hard to make seem so genuine, is just revisionist history and a lie.
But do you think that he's maybe one of those people that he really does believe these things that he's revising?
I think he does. I actually do think that he does.
I think so too.
But it's... I think he's confusing the truth about a situation with how he feels today.
With his truth.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes,
it's true to him, but it's not the truth. We know from the time that he was in Oklahoma City and the stuff he said about like wanting to be here long term, he says whatever it is in the moment he thinks will make him, put him in the best light.
Yeah.
And
of course,
and that does not have to be consistent year to year. And it is not consistent year to year. And so just don't take anything he says seriously. I mean, just take it and be like, okay, that's where he is right now.
Yeah.
But that is going to change the second he sees he goes to another team, the second he is feels disrespected in any way, whether mm-hmm. it be by a teammate, by a random person on Twitter, or by his own imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And then he snaps and he has a new truth and he'll say the new thing that is in KD's mind at that second.
That's why I think he can get so upset with reporters and stuff when Sherwood Strauss, Ethan.
Ethan, yeah.
Like, he hates Ethan. Do you think Ethan is like falsely reporting these stories? There's just no way.
Yeah, no.
But KD says he's a liar and like makes those things up. And I think both things are, I think KD really thinks those, that he's lying and making up those stories.
Yeah.
You know? And Ethan is really telling what actually happened, but the like reality is just different.
What happens mm-hmm. when you are a person with that much clout and that much money, really, is you surround yours, you pay for all the people that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people around you stop telling you no.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you what you want to hear and they agree with all of your ideas.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So when you aren't smart enough or not smart enough,
when you're darn smart enough,
when you aren't smart enough to keep,
smart enough
to keep those people around you that you came up with that will tell you, no, this is a bad idea. No, you should do that. You're not right. Then everyone around you would be like, yeah, he's that reporter's lying. Mm-hmm. Everything he's saying is a lie because it's what the person who pays for their entire lifestyle, their family, their house, their car pays for them is thinking. They're like, yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so.
So wise, Luke.
Well, it's wisdom, baby.
Oh.
Let's stop talking about KD. Let's go to our next Twitter question.
Darn smart.
Darn smart. Here you go. Our next Twitter question comes from at Worth Lambert, who wants to know, any chance this team shows enough promise we abandon tanking this year?
Who wants to do it?
Andrew's already like,
I have to do it. I have to do it like five times a week. Can somebody else do it?
No.
No. No, you should be numb to it at this point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I am. Yeah, I just want to feel something though.
Oh, okay. Same. That's why Summer League was so problematic for me. I just want to feel anything.
No, I mean, there's the only way that happens is if Poku blows up and is like, oh, like Poku is
averaging 26 a game.
He's like wing Jokic.
50-90-40.
You know? 50-90-40.
I don't know what those
90% from the 3-point line.
Yeah. 40% from the free throw.
It is the most 50-40-90. It's the most
90% from 3 and 40% from free throw line. Surely nobody's ever done that.
He's
before.
Taking 12 threes per game, averaging 90% from the 3-point line.
The Thunder would like petition the league to let people take their free throws from behind the 3-point line if they wanted
Poku's
to.
Poku's scoring 47 points per game. Yeah. It is unprecedented. Then yes, of course. If he's 50-90-40, then yes, tanking is dead. All right? So
basketball is dead at that point.
Basketball is dead. We win the title this year.
Old people stop watching basketball. Like if players are shooting 90% from 3 and 40% from the free throw line, where the points are free. Hey, they're free. Make them.
Yeah.
That's where it all goes down. We lose all the old people watching.
There you go. All right. Let's go to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Kiwi Greg 5555. Who wants to know who will make more three-pointers? Josh Giddey in one game or Ben Simmons over the course of the whole season?
Ooh, do we get to pick? Like, does it have to be the first game?
No,
of Josh?
It is one game during his best three-point game.
Oh, yeah. Easily Josh Giddey. Easily.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah. But it doesn't really matter where Ben Simmons goes. He's not making more than, what, 4 threes in a season?
At best, right?
I think Mozgov made more threes in that one season.
That was one of your best bold takes.
Yeah. It was.
How many was he going to make, 50?
I can't remember what I said. I think it was over under. I think I said 50.
My favorite Twitter, you know, like battle is like, everybody pulling up all of these. Like, what's the point of podcasting or talking about anything if you're just sitting there going, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Yeah. I can't say with any certainty about anything. Like, the point is to make statements that you feel confident in. And if they're wrong, like, well, that was the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's the weirdest Twitter backlash. Of like, oh, yeah, he said this and look at it now. It's like, the whole point of this is to say statements with some sort of certainty, and then you're wrong because you made some sort of declarative statement. That's the point of it. That's literally what this whole media is about.
I agree with you. Yeah. I would just say, we used to have podcasts where we just talked about other people's takes and how stupid and dumb they were.
Also, a part of this thing called sports radio or podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the most amount of threes Ben Simmons has made in a season?
Mm. Two?
Eight.
Six.
Three.
Oh. Three.
Mm. Is the most, and that was last season. He was 3 of 10 on the season.
30%.
What's the most attempts that he's taken in a season?
He made
12.
In a game.
In the whole season. The whole season. For an entire season.
I'd say his rookie, I think 15. It's his rookie season, and I think it's 20.
11 is the most.
11?
What year was it?
That was his rookie year. So it's 11. Second year, he took 6.
Yeesh.
Third year, he took 7. And then last season, he took 10.
What is that?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
It is. It is.
All right. Hey, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Russ Schwartzman. Who says on the Wednesday pod, Andrew and Alex were comparing Dort's upcoming contract to the contract Smart just signed. But shouldn't we compare it to his rookie scale extension? 4 years, 52 mil.
Well, I don't know why we would compare a contract from like 5 years ago to a contract that's signed today.
Right.
Because the cap is different. The money that's being offered is different. So
types of players that are valued. Different.
Yeah. So I would say,
who got an extension this year that would be similar to what Dort would grab?
I don't know. I would still say like between like 15 to 18 mil is probably what he would get on an extension. He's a starter. He's not a high level starter, but he's a starter in the NBA. So I would say that
I could see
that
somebody
number makes sense
paying him.
Someone would pay him 20.
A lot.
I think someone would pay him 20.
Just with his skill set. And we don't know what he develops offensively. Like, does he finish at the rim better? Does he, you know, move from, I think he was 31, 32, 33% this year. If he moves from that to, you know, 36, 37. Like, if any of that stuff develops for him here in the next few years, like, he's going to get a lot on in some sort of
34%.
Yeah, but he went down to 34. You remember how many games it was that he was shooting so well at the start of last season?
Yeah, he was over 40% to start the season.
For like a long time, for a while.
I mean, that's why
they average him over the course of a season.
Yeah, but he took 6 a game. I mean, if you would have told me,
that's a lot.
Like, hey, listen, his Dort's second year, like he signs his two-way contract. Like, yeah, Dort's going to have a full-time contract, and he's going to shoot 34% from 3 on 6 attempts per game. It would have been like, wow. If you just said, like, Andre Robertson is going to do that, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, like, this changes everything.
Oh, this brings up a point that I have. Okay. If a player shoots, I asked you guys this in text the other day, and no one answered it. If a player shoots 50% from 2, is that good?
Yeah, 50%. I mean, it depends on what. It depends on who it is.
Right.
Depends on if it's a big man.
It's generally good, right?
If it's a big man, no. It's not good.
Right, because they're at the rim.
Yeah.
But if you're taking a jump shot like mid-range and you shoot 50%, that's really good, right?
If you're a guard, then it's good.
Okay. If a player shoots 33% from 3, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean it's
not. What's league average?
League average is like upper 35%.
But when a player shoots 33% from 3, you're like, that player needs to get better at shooting, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same amount of points though. So what's going on here?
But that's why teams are taking more threes. Like, you're making the 3-point argument right now. This is like Mike D'Antoni like on a soapbox.
Well, I know, but we say, I get that. If a player's good at shooting threes, then yeah, take threes. You get more points. But why do we consider a player that's 33% from three someone that needs to develop a better shot when it's equal to 50% from mid-range?
I don't think that people think that it's bad. I would just say that more than half of the league is shooting better.
But so, okay, I get it. But
so it's like on a curve, right? Because there are so many players that are shooting better that it's like, oh, compared to all these other guys, it's not as good.
Yeah. But for a team overall, like we discount a guy.
You're making the three-point argument. Like you're making the argument as to like why teams are taking 35 threes a game.
No, no. I understand that. I'm saying I think we discount guys too much based on a percentage number that's actually, that should be considered good enough to be shooting threes because threes are good.
Yeah.
Yes. But when more than half the people are doing better than that, it's not good.
No, that's not necessarily true. It can still be good. It's just not better than average.
Yeah, I think that most teams would have their player, like if JRE is shooting 33% from three this season, threes. I think they just want him to keep shooting. Like it's enough.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there's a threshold. If you're shooting below 30%, then it's like, okay, we need to kind of figure out what we're doing here.
That's like a guy who shoots 40% from mid-range. It's like, don't be taking
that. Yeah, anymore. Please don't do that. Yeah. But also, most of the guys on this team are young, and so the percentages shouldn't matter that much. Like, we need to be looking more at, like, do they shoot it consistently?
Yeah.
Like, what's their form look like? Are they landing in the same spot?
So Dort's a good three-point shooter.
Great. I'd even argue.
There we go.
All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question that comes from @CodySonOfSteve. Who wants to know what's the best food you know how to make? What is your signature dish?
Pancakes.
Pancakes? Signature.
Do you make them from scratch or do you use?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Okay.
Do you put any? Fixings in there? Putting chocolate chips or blueberries in your pancake.
I will sometimes put blueberries in, okay. in them, and
barbecue.
Sometimes sprinkles. Okay. For my kids.
And they're good. I told that's how you sprinkle them.
Yeah. Yeah. Always raisin. Yeah.
Pancakes being your signature, like,
says
dad.
It says a lot about me.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
Do y'all do a lot of Brenner breakfast for dinner?
We do a lot of breakfast for
Nice word combination, Jay.
I feel like breakfast for dinner is just an underrated go to, man.
Oh, it's good.
It was the best in the frat house. When they did breakfast,
it was awesome. That is true.
My son's birthday is next week, and we're trying to figure out what do you want for dinner. Like, we'll make whatever you want to make.
His birthday's next week?
Yeah.
Are we birthday twins?
When?
31st, baby. No,
that's not next week. So,
do you know when your birthday is, Luke?
No, I just know it's coming up.
Yeah. It's a Tuesday.
I like to be surprised.
So, anyway, but. I was like, we can always do
by the calendar.
Uh-huh. We can do breakfast for dinner if you want to. So yeah, we'll see.
Did he like that?
Yeah, he loves breakfast because he likes pancakes. Sausage, eggs.
The thing that's great about working from home is that we get to have breakfast like every day together. Like, there's not typically like a rushed like
grab a Pop-Tart, get out of the house.
Yeah,
yeah. We my go. Go ahead, man.
No, you go.
So we have I purchased.
I'll go.
Go ahead, Taylor.
Oh, God, just kidding.
I purchased a griddle, an outside griddle.
Mm-hmm.
Outside griddle. Just keep saying it until I figure out what's next.
What is happening?
Are you short circuited?
Like, I know.
My brain just said, really keep saying it. Just keep saying it.
Just keep saying it. Outside griddle.
And so I've gotten really good at making like breakfast tacos out there and smash burgers. I've got really good at smash burgers. Smash burgers probably my go-to.
Dude,
grill up some onions and some mushrooms, smash some burgers. Outside griddle.
I actually really... I was like looking at you, dude, and I could see your eye, like your brain was like, how do I move on from this?
I was stuck in a roundabout in my own head.
How do I move forward? It just keeps.
Oh, God.
You looked confused about like your brain was recognizing that it was confused about itself.
Yeah. 100%.
I was like, what's going on? All I can say is outside griddle right now.
Say something else. Say something else.
Okay. Mine is, I think I make a really good steak.
Oh.
I think I make a really good breakfast burrito.
Ooh.
And I used to make, like, when I was a kid, my family would do this thing, like, every, like, one of us would cook a meal, and my meal every time was in this big wok, and it was basically like a kung pao chicken, and it was phenomenal. It was so good.
Luke just yanked his headphones out. As he said kung pao, it was like, pow!
It was,
what is going on with this question?
I actually really like cooking, and I think I'm not bad at it. I don't do it a lot, though.
Would you say you're like 32 or 33% from 30?
No, I'm like 15%.
Oh, that's bad.
I don't cook very often.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't think that's how percentages work.
I don't know. I don't understand.
You don't cook very often, but if you maybe shoot 50%, but you just take two a game.
Yeah. I'm not very consistent.
Yeah, which is important.
Which is important.
It is. Michele sent me his carbonara recipe.
Yeah.
I've made that so many times and it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's all.
Umami?
It does. It's got some umami. It's hard to, I mean, I guess technically you can describe other genres of food as having umami. I mean, yes, definitely.
Does it
definitely
have a je ne sais quoi?
It does have that certain je ne sais quoi. I would say that is what umami is too. Umami and je ne sais quoi, kind of the same thing. I guess.
Yeah.
What's the English version of that?
All right, Elman, we got like time for maybe.
Let's go on to our next Twitter question.
Maybe one more.
Okay. Our last Twitter question. It comes from @QSeahawk88, who wants to know, what are each of your favorite Coach Mark moments from the past year? He seems like a really cool dude and deserves more talk. I wish we were friends. I'm lonely.
I loved it whenever, I think it was Barry Trammell asking a question at exit interviews with him. And for whatever reason, people wanted to talk about like how difficult the COVID year was. And like, that's like the first four questions were about that. And I'm like, gosh, like, please stop. Like, please stop. And Barry asked some question about like people having like a bad attitude about it. And Mark was like, kind of, like, he's like, no, he's like, one, like, if you came in our locker room with that attitude, like, Kendrick Williams would grab you by the collar and like make sure that you weren't going to bring that into our locker room, you know, like,
dang,
one of those. That was like one of my favorite moments. It was really funny.
Wow, that makes me love Kendrick Williams.
Kendrick Williams is very beloved by like everybody.
Sounds like he's become a very important part of this locker room culture too.
Yeah, he is important. I think that they've illustrated that a lot throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have traded him.
They could have.
Like, people wanted him.
Oh, I want him.
He'll be in demand. I don't know if they'll keep him long term. He'll be in demand. I mean, I think they can get something for him this year if they wanted to trade him. But we'll see.
Favorite Coach Mark moment?
Jay favorite, wants to steal mine. We'll do it together.
We'll do it together.
This is Jay and mine's because this is the only memory both of us have of anything that he's
I think the most memorable moment of a season was
the Poku yelling thing. Yep.
Mine too.
Oh. Well, I don't even know how to talk about that. I guess it was just cool to see him actually be passionate to another player and keep them accountable.
Yeah. You never felt like you got that from, and it's such a different ball game when you're playing developmental minutes versus like we're trying to compete with two superstars that are, like, you can't grab Russ to the side and be like, we've watched you mess up many a times, you know?
Yeah.
At least not on TV. You can't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like in practice or whatever, like we don't know that those conversations.
Like, what's the most memorable Billy Donovan moment?
Can't play Cantor.
Can't play Cantor.
Widow's Peak.
Widow's Peak.
Looks like a vampire.
Mm-hmm. So I'm at a...
Yes. But yeah, it's Can't Play Cantor. It's one moment.
Yeah.
Nothing else he did was memorable. When he tried to pull Russ whenever he had the 2020 game for Nipsey.
Yeah.
Like that was something where at the end, I guess, I didn't remember this from when it happened, but he tried to pull him and Russ waved it off.
Yeah.
And then Billy walked over and talked to him and they kind of was like, hey, I didn't realize what you were doing. I'm sorry. And
yeah.
Kind of, they hugged it out.
Never apologize to your players.
Yeah, that seems like a poor way to lead.
Never apologize
to Bob Knight, man.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Never apologize to people you're supposed to be leading.
Travis Funny is coaching 5-year-old rec league.
And he needs advice. And advice.
You got
don't
advice,
ever
Andrew?
Apologize to your players.
Never apologize to your
players. 5 years old.
Andrew just finished.
Yeah. Just try to have fun.
Yeah. Like, that's honestly, all you really can do with kindergartners or 5-year-olds.
Yeah. Just make sure they like basketball.
And just make, like, the only way maybe to have dribble. Fun is to win. So make dribble. Sure that you win.
Dribble instead of just running with the ball?
Not yet. Not yet.
All right, guys. And are we? Is that it?
Yeah, make sure you win. You don't want those kids to grow up feeling like losers.
I'm coaching my son's flag football team this
ooh.
Semester.
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah.
You going to be yelling?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Never give apologize.
Give us your best yell.
No.
Huh? What?
I'll give you one.
I swear to God, if you don't pull a flag on that kid!
Is that a good yell?
Mine's less, like, constructive in the sense of, like, corrective and more of just, like, excitement, like, something goes wrong.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.